Luke chapter 2, verse 15 through 20. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. You'll notice that one of the reasons as we start to understand these passages in Luke chapter 2, that God has granted that Jesus would come in humble form, is that people would be responding to the word of God about Jesus, not what Jesus looked like, or the very lofty and powerful appearing and wealthy circumstances of Jesus. What did Jesus look like? He looked like a baby. What were his circumstances? He was born on an out-of-town trip when the relatives that Joseph and Mary were staying with didn't have room for them, because the primary guest room was already filled. The primary guest room would ordinarily have been in an upper room. In fact, the word that is translated an inn, there was no room for them in the inn, in some translations, is the same word that's used for the upper room where they prepare the Last Supper. It would have been the guest room for out-of-towners, and you would understand why Galileans in Jerusalem would use that room for their Last Supper, or for their Passover meal, as opposed to the main room for the family. Well, downstairs with the family, there would be a section of the first floor where the animals were. And it's probably in that section that Joseph and Mary had to squeeze in with their relatives. Since it tells us, although I guess they could have moved the feeding trough somewhere. So it's actually kind of a, in some ways, very even more ordinary than many of the Yuletide songs that come largely from the Wesleys and other less theologically precise, because in the history of the Reformation, those who kept Yuletide were not those who held most closely to the Word of God. And so the stream from which we get those songs is not really the Reformation stream that our church stands in. And, you know, kind of the out in a cave or out in a stable, that actually makes it seem a little more extraordinary. But Luke chapter 2 is saying, look at how very ordinary appearing all of this is. What is not ordinary is not what they saw. What they saw was ordinary. What they heard is what was extraordinary. That this is the Son of David. That this is the Savior. That this is even Christ the Lord. And that's why in our little passage today in verses 15 through 20, the amazing thing that they saw was, you know, a young out-of-town couple who had to squeeze in on the first floor with the main family in the animal section, and the baby was in the feeding trough. Very, very ordinary. But that's what the angels said they would see, and that when they saw that, they would know that what had been said is true. This is the Son of David. This is the Savior. This is Christ the Lord. And we too are responding to Jesus in the same way. We now have the Word of God. We have in front of us right now Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 20, that the Holy Spirit carried men along, that carried Luke in particular, this passage along, that it would be written, and God has preserved His Word through the ages and helped men learn Greek and translate it for us, that we might respond to what is told about Jesus. So that in one sense we miss nothing, or we miss very little, by the fact that we didn't have angels appear to us, and we didn't go to a house in Bethlehem, or we didn't have some shepherds show up yelling things and excited about things like they're out of their minds, and we would marvel at what they said, like it says here, but we are responding to God's words about Jesus when we believe in Him, that He is the Son of David, the Anointed One, the Christ, who is to come to save, and that the Anointed One who is the Christ, who has come to save as the Son of David, is actually the Lord Himself, the God, the second person of the Trinity, who made the worlds and everything in it, who upholds everything by the word of His power, is the One who came to save us. And in a sense, what sight or what circumstances could have communicated that? And so God has appointed especially His Word as the means by which He convinces us of the truth about Himself, the truth about Jesus, and the truth about His salvation. So His Word ought to be very precious to us as the only appointed means, as the appointed means that is uniquely appropriate to what He is telling us, that Jesus is our Savior. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank You for this passage, how we thank You for even the way You worded the passage to highlight to us how wonderful it was that it was just as was told them, how wonderful are the truths that were told about Jesus. Truths even that You verified by such ordinary appearances, because what You have done for us in Him is so extraordinary that there is no appearance whatsoever that could have communicated it. We pray for Your Holy Spirit's work in each one of our hearts, Lord. I pray for my children, that He would take Your words from Scripture and that He would implant them deeply into the hearts of each of our children, that they would be like Mary, who ponder the truth about Jesus and are amazed that He indeed is the Lord who became a little baby for us, that He might live that perfect life and die that atoning death and rise again in that powerful resurrection. Help us all to cling to Him by the faith that Your Word produces. For we ask it in His name, and Your children here say, Amen. Amen.